I'm excited. When Pastor told me that this morning, my mind immediately went to Psalm 1. I've been meditating on that for over a month now, and really just going over it and over it and over it. And I even remember getting to a point where I opened up, you know, my Bible, and I thought, and I opened up to Psalm 1, and I thought, why am I reading this again? There's no way I'm getting anything else out of it right now. But I decided to read it again, and sure enough, God gave me something else, and God just kept giving and giving and giving and revealing and revealing and revealing. And that is why we meditate. Amen. So when I had the opportunity to preach this scene, I began to think about Psalm 1, and I had a lot of thoughts, and I had a lot of things written down. And so I was going through them, and the last time I preached at a Psalms was Psalm 23, and I tried preaching on the entire Psalm. I realized that was not a good idea. And so I decided tonight not to try to preach on the entire first Psalm. This is your last service, right, Brother Mott? Amen. Mrs. Mott, we will miss you dearly. But as I, you know, as I was praying about and just seeking the Lord for what he would have me to preach, it really just got my attention to really the first part of the first verse. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So tonight we're going to look at counsel in relation to the blessed man. I do have to say that we probably hear the word blessed all the time, and it's probably even maybe overused. You know, how are you doing today? I'm blessed. All right, you know, bless you. How's you? Bless you, bless you. We hear it all the time. All right, but what does the Bible mean by blessed? If I asked that, probably most of you could tell me, hopefully. The word blessed, if you look in the Hebrew, it means happy. Amen. You knew something about the Bible. That's good, Brother Mott. All right. All right, but it means happy. And it's this particular Hebrew word is used 42 times throughout the Old Testament, mainly translated into blessed, but 17 times translated into the word happy. When we look at the usage of the word here, the usage is in the plural. And something I've learned from even Pastor Holmes, he's looking at that, is in this instance, it denotes either the multiplicity of blessings or an intensification of blessings. What that means is the blessed man is blessed, and he's 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 blessed. There's an intensification. There's an overflow of blessing. And you know, the greatest thing about that, listen up, the greatest thing about it is the blessings are available to everyone. The blessings are available to everyone. Spurgeon said it really well. Says, it is not blessed is the king, blessed is the scholar, blessed is the rich, but blessed is the man. The blessedness is attainable by the poor, the forgotten, and the obscure, as it is by those whose names figure in history and are trumpeted by fame. The blessing is available to everyone. But I want to say more specifically, it's available to those who believe. It's available to everyone, but the only ones that can get it are those who believe. Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 through 2 says, "Blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed, happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Blessed, Psalm 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Looking at counsel, what is counsel? We looked at blessed, we looked at the blessed man, but what is counsel? Webster's 1828 dictionary says this, counsel is advice, opinion, or instruction given upon request or otherwise for directing the judgment or conduct of another. There was once a young man who had aspirations of becoming a great British Navy captain. Okay? He really had a desire to do that. His father died at a young age, and as he grew up, he was trying to push toward this job, push toward this position. But his mother, as he got older, became more and more and more against it, and she counseled him not to pursue it. And this young man, thankfully, listened to his mother's counsel. And because he listened to his mother's counsel, this man eventually became commander-in-chief of all of the United States Armed Forces. This man is This man is George Washington. George Washington listened to the counsel of his parents, and I think it paid off. Much of the course of our lives is determined by the counsel we get when making decisions and whether we heed wise counsel when we receive it. When we look at this passage in Psalm 1, we really can see, and we really, in looking throughout Scripture, we really can see three types of counsel. And that's what we're going to go over this evening. We're going to go over the three types of counsel we can see in Scripture. The first one we see is faithless counsel. Faithless counsel. Now let me tell you this. The blessed man will be able to recognize this counsel, this faithless, this ungodly counsel, and he will be able to avoid it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Let me just tell you this. I want you to make sure you get this. Okay, this is important. It's absolutely a revelation, complete new truth, but bad counsel means bad choices. Bad counsel means bad choices. It doesn't matter how much you like the person or how good the advice sounds to you, bad counsel means bad choices. You might think that you can just continue to get bad counsel and bad counsel and bad counsel, and that you'll be fine. You'll be able to sort it out. But you need to flee from it. You need to avoid it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Bad counsel means bad choices. If you want a very good biblical example of this, we can go to Genesis chapter 3, right? We have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They are innocent. They are without sin. But they have a choice, right? And we see here in the first verse, starting with the first verse, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle, more deceitful, more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree that to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." See, here we have an example of bad counsel. Here we have an example of counsel that, to be honest, that there is even some truth to. And you notice what Eve didn't do? She didn't stop to consider whether or not it was good counsel. She didn't stop to think about it. She just heard what he said, and she looked at the tree, and she said, "You know that? That looks good. I think I want that. I want that wisdom. I want my eyes opened." The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." How many times do we go about our day and we look for counsel, we even just look for ideas, and we believe the first thing that we see? Do you think that what you are told about, or what you believe about, just because you read on Facebook or watch it in a YouTube video? We have a generation that learns everything from the internet. me just say, whether you read it from the internet or you hear it from someone else does not mean that it's correct. There's a reason that the Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not the things that Paul was telling them were true. And when someone else comes to us, the blessed man, you know what he's going to do? He's going to check. He's going to look. He's going to, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he's going to prove all things, and he's going to hold fast to that which is good. There are a lot of you that tonight, the friends you have, maybe even the family you have, they don't give very good counsel. But you listen to them, and you listen to them, and you listen to them, and you go by what they say. Let me say, if you have friends that keep giving you bad counsel, you know what they're called? Bad friends. Plain and simple. If friends are giving you bad counsel, they are bad friends. And they're giving you faithless, ungodly counsel. And we need to make sure we avoid that type of counsel. The second type of counsel that we see this evening is fleshly counsel. This is the counsel that comes from within. The blessed man is also discerning enough to know that the counsel of the ungodly can come from himself. I think so many times we get ourselves in trouble because we just listen to ourselves, amen? And we don't listen to others. You know, this is the hardest counsel to resist. This is the hardest counsel to resist. I don't know if you know this, but Arby's recently got these frozen lemonades. And they have them in three different flavors. My favorite by far is black cherry frozen lemonade. It is really good. And I might have already been there like 7 or 8 times for these. And that's probably low. Okay? I really, really like those things. You know what? I'll be sitting, you know, at the house, and this has happened. I'll be sitting at the house and thinking, I really want one of those frozen lemonades. And you know what? They're only $1, right now at least. They're only $1. Okay, it's not that the fact that they don't have like 15 pounds of sugar in each one, but they're only $1. And it's really easy to give in to that counsel right there. What I should be saying is, no, you don't need it. You don't need the extra waist size, right? But it's really hard to give in to those. Now, if someone else was saying, hey, do you think I should get one of those frozen lemonades? I'd be like, no. Do you know how much sugar that are in those? It's pretty easy to tell other people when or when not to do something. Well, let's be honest. When it comes to ourselves, when it comes to our direction, when it comes to our desires, when it comes to maybe even our fears, our comfort, it's a little harder to say no, isn't it? It's a little harder to have a clear perspective. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto wise counsel is wise. You can't just depend on yourself. You can't just depend on your own intellect. You can't just depend on your own reasoning. Listen, we all have a way that seems right in our own eyes. And if you're someone, you've been in church and you've been in your Bible for years, and let's say that you start just thinking like, oh, you know, I know the Bible. I can just start thinking about each thing, and I can just determine it with my own intellect, with my own reasoning. You know, you might be good for a little while, but you know what's soon going to happen? You're going to get further and further and further away from the truth. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit, Look at verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, looking at that verse, I find it interesting. You read verses 7 and 8, and they really do seem to go together, really mirroring what we read in Psalm 1. But then you go on to Psalm 9, and be honest, it kind of seems like it's an abrupt 180. It kind of seems like they're two passages that are just stitched together. It seems like they don't even go together, because it's just, neither shall, cease from yielding fruit, and then all of a sudden, but the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's a very quick and powerful warning there. When we go by our own reasoning, when we try to listen to our own heart, and we don't seek good counsel, our flesh, our heart, will deceive us. We cannot trust our own intellect. We are finite. We are imperfect. We are prone to error. You see, we don't need anyone else to lead us away from God. If we allow ourselves, we will lead ourselves away. You see, there's a reason David said in Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 and 24, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, David knew this truth. David knew that he did not know exactly how wicked and exactly how depraved he actually was. He knew that he was worse than he thought he was. Because let's be honest, we always think ourselves better than we actually are. But David said, "God, search me. God, try me. Reveal the wickedness. Reveal the evil ways in me. And lead me out of it." See, we're not so often led away by others. I think one of the things that we do so often is we blame the devil for our sin. We say, "The devil made me do it." No, your flesh made you do it. You wanted to do it. You were led away by your own flesh. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own desires, and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err." Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. The heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. So many times we take our own, we think, and we try to just use our own thought processes. We might take our own counsel out of maybe greed. We want more. Out of comfort, we don't want to actually do anything God's speaking to. He wants you to step out by faith, but you're saying, if I do this, then, this will change, or this will change, or this will change, or this will change. And you say, I think there's just too much risk. God can use me so much right here with my tithe and with my missions giving and with all this. Can I just say something? It doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter how much you do here. It doesn't matter what anything about it. If God calls you somewhere else to do something else for him, then go. Step out. Don't allow yourself to give in to yourself. How many people do we know who talked about serving the Lord but never actually do anything? How many of us don't do anything because we're afraid? We're afraid of what might happen. How many of us have left something undone because of fear? Let me just say this. If you didn't notice, I don't know who changed it, but there was a light that was out over here, and I'm just thankful that someone else changed it, because if it was up to me, that light would stay out. And then when other lights went out, those lights would stay out. And I would just put it in the bulletin, "Bring your candles to the service so we have light." Because of fear, my fear of ladders, I don't want to get up there. I told Pastor jokingly ish, you know, there's the ish again, jokingly ish, that, you know, the moment that I'm forced to get on that ladder that has the A-frame and then has the straight ladder, the straight ladder that goes, see, that's why Don told me to put it on my tie, that then has the straight ladder that goes, you know, straight up on top of that, the moment that I'm forced to go up is the moment my resignation letter goes on pastor's desk. Listen, I've tried it. I've tried it. I got to the top of the A-frame and then grabbed a hold of the straight ladder and then it shook and I'm like, no, and I got back down. Okay? It's just not going to happen. You want to know why? Fear. Fear. I'll be honest. I'm completely okay in that area to let someone else do it. But you know, God has something for you to do. God has something for that is, he has purposed for you. And if you allow fear, if you allow comfort, if you allow anything to keep you from doing it, you're out of God's will. You're not in right fellowship with him. During World War II, a military governor met with General George Patton in Sicily. When he praised Patton highly for his courage and bravery, the general replied, "Sir, I am not a brave man. The truth is, I am an utter craven coward. But I have never been within the sound of gunshot or in the sight of battle in my whole life that I wasn't so scared that I had sweat in the palms of my hands." Years later, when Patton's autobiography was published, it contained a significant statement by this general. It says, "I learned very early in my life, never to take counsel from my fears." I learned very early in my life never to take counsel from my fears. Brother, sister, can we agree that we shouldn't listen to ourselves? We shouldn't listen to ourselves. And you know what? You shouldn't listen to ungodly counsel. We shouldn't listen to faithless counsel. We shouldn't listen to fleshly counsel. But you know what we should listen to? Faithful counsel. We should listen to faithful counsel. The blessed man knows where to find godly counsel. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Psalm 119, verse 24 says, "Thy testimonies are my delight and my," what's that word? Counselors. If you want good counsel, let me tell you this evening, good counsel can be found right here. Good counsel can be found right here. God's word is always the best counselor. God and godly counselors will always bring the truth of God's word to help someone who wants counseling. Listen, if you want to know what you need to do, you need to seek the Lord. You need to see what God says. You know, that can mean going to his word. That can mean going to people who you know his word and live by his word. Can I just say, just like Frank was saying, we are blessed to live in a church that has many, many people like that. You got Brother Brown, Brother Frank, Pastor Mott for like one more hour. We have many people who you can go to seek godly counsel, people who will go to God's word to show you what God says about what you're dealing with. You see, we need this counsel. Because again, we don't think like God. In fact, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, when we seek the Lord, when we meditate, when we seek counsel from the Lord, when we seek direction from God, you know what soon begins to happen as you continually spend time in God's Word and meditate and mull over and think upon God's Word day in and day out, as Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, day and night, right? You know what happens? Your thoughts begin to line up with God's thoughts, and your ways begin to line up with God's ways. And let me just say that it's not because God's thoughts or God's ways change. It's because your ways and your thoughts change. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. As the Bible says in Psalm 119, 105. The blessed man knows that God's Word will show him where he needs to go. It'll show him where he needs to go. Can I just say, when God brought my wife and I here, we spent much time in prayer. We spent much time in the Bible and seeking God for direction. And you know what he showed us extremely, extremely clearly? Right here. That we were supposed to come right here. And you know, coming here was a great decision. Why? Because it was the right decision. Here's the thing. The process in even coming here was not a quick one. We began praying for it in January, got a call the next month, and then for quite a while, I talked to a couple different pastors. I talked to different friends. I talked to people I knew who were over here, a.k.a. Rich Foreman, okay? I talked to pastor. We came over and visited, and we talked to a lot of people. And you know what we got? Counsel. You know, sometimes we don't get the faithful counsel because we want to go too fast. Allow God to lead. Allow God to direct you and show you where to go. The blessed man also knows that the Bible will show him who he is and who he needs to be. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In other words, God's word will show you how you should think. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." When we seek counsel, don't we often want to go to people who we know can relate to us? Isn't it fantastic? Isn't it awesome to know that we have a God? We have a Savior. We have a high priest who can relate to us. Let's be honest. If anything, we can't relate to him. Because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who humbled himself so much that he came down to be born of a virgin and became a human, which is humbling in and of itself. But when he was born, he wasn't born in, Fremont or Bellevue or whatever hospital. He was born and put in a feeding trough. He was born in a cave where animals are born. He grew up poor. If you look in the New Testament, we see that Mary and Joseph, they brought two doves for the sacrifice. The only time two doves were allowed to be sacrificed was when the people sacrificing didn't have enough money for the normal sacrifice. He grew up poor. And I don't care what you say, but if you live in America, you ain't poor. Poor, you might be poorer than some, but we're not poor. But he came down, he was born in a manger, lived a poor life, and after 33 and a half years, died a death he didn't deserve. And gave the payment to people who didn't deserve it. We have a God who can relate to us. And he's worth going to for what he did for us. He's worth going to for direction. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You see, we have the scriptures. There's a lot of people in here, you've had the scriptures and you've known the scripture. You've grown up in church. And what we need to do is we need to abide by the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Okay? Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's go back to verse 16. Let's go ahead and put that back on the screen. We look at this verse. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Listen, that's what you need to know. That's what you need to know. And also for reproof. That's what you're doing wrong. Okay? Then correction. How to correct what you're doing wrong. And then instruction in righteousness, how to keep it that way. The Word of God is good for counsel. It's good for faithful, godly counsel. And if you want to be that blessed man, you need to be in it. Your delight needs to be God's word. You need to spend much time in his counsel. You need to spend much time in his laws. And you know what's going to happen if you do? You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're going to bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf, it won't wither. And whatsoever you do, it will prosper. Can I say, not because you do it, and not because it's your way, because when you're in his word and you're meditating day and night, your ways change into God's ways. And can I tell you something about God? He blesses those who abide by his ways, that abide by his word. Some of us, we need to spend that time. Can we spend time in God's word? The Bible says that strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between both good and evil. You know, if you lack wisdom, if you lack discernment, if you want to get the counsel of the word of God and you want to have it for yourself, ask God for it. Ask him to open your eyes that you may behold wondrous things out of his law. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know what I like about the promises that God gives in scripture? He keeps them. So when it says shall, you know what that means? Will. Will. So again, you look back at Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth will prosper. Listen, because it is God's counsel and God's word, we can know that it will be good and it will be profitable. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." I like the first part of that verse right there. "For ye shall go out with joy and be led" by who? By God. "You shall be led forth with peace." You know, between the counsel given to us by the world and the counsel we receive from our wonderful counselor, the world says, take control and be in charge. Conquering is the key. Our Father says, "I know the plans I have for you. Give it up and follow me." The world says that I should love things and use people. That's the way it's been. Our Father says I should love people and use things. That's the way to win. The world says in this fast-paced life that busy is the best. Our Father says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." The world says, sacrifice to reach the top. The bottom you don't deserve. Our Father says the least shall be great. So humble yourself and serve. The world says there are no absolutes. It's up to us and to you to decide. Our Father says forgive them once. Forgive them twice. Forgive them again and again and again. The world sees the outside, the accomplishments and pride. Our Father sees the inside. From Him, we cannot hide. The blessed man avoids faithless, ungodly counsel. He runs from it. The blessed man realizes that he is a danger to himself, and he cannot abide by his own fleshly counsel. But the blessed man hungers and thirsts after godly counsel. The question tonight is, what counsel will you strive for? Let's be honest, you actually don't have to strive for the first two. But will you strive? Will you run the race? Let's stop walking. Will you run your race? Will you be hungry? Will you thirst after righteousness? Will you listen to the faithful counsel of His word?